Good evening. I'm going to open up my Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where I'm going to read from in just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, let me say, as you're turning there, Happy New Year. You've heard me say before that this is usually my favorite Sunday to preach. I love the first of the year. I love fresh beginnings, a new start. Always look forward as a congregation of introducing a new theme. And I always say sometimes of things after the holidays getting back to normal, but I don't think that's going to be the case for us in 2021. But I was just sitting here tonight before we started services and try to think about and focus on all the blessings that God has given us over 2020 and how we are blessed as a congregation. And I'm excited to introduce the theme next week as Alan speaks to us as one of our shepherds. And I was just thinking about that song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." I think that's a great song to think about as we start this new year, and with all the distractions that we've had, to focus on that. Remember that we are to be about our Father's business just as Jesus was as well. Well, being the new year, as I already mentioned, this morning, maybe you have some resolutions that you've made. I hope that you have some goals and some things that you'd like to accomplish over the year. I've made some resolutions this year as well, and written down some goals and some things that I would like to accomplish in 2021. We decided to start on Monday. So a couple of our resolutions, we'll start on Monday. So we're already struggling a little bit on our resolutions. One of the resolutions that I'm working on is giving up Diet Pepsi. I love Diet Pepsi. I love Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Pepsi. But you know, I've read some studies that linked diet soda to short-term memory loss. And so I thought that was a good reason to try to give it up in 2021. And then there was a study in 2014 that was published that revealed that drinking diet sodas raised the risk of type 2 diabetes by about 13%. Then there was another study about daily drinking of diet soda that gave you a greater chance of a heart attack. So I thought that would be a good reason to give up diet soda in 2021. Not to mention the study that linked diet drinks to short-term memory loss. So, obviously, there might be some things that we need to make some changes in 2021. But seriously speaking, I hope we understand and know that we need some spiritual resolutions as well. I hope that we all want to be successful in our relationship with the Lord in 2021. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I love what Peter says here in his second epistle, because he makes this bold statement, this bold promise. He makes this guarantee. He says, if you make an effort to add certain qualities to your life, if you make an effort to develop these qualities over your life, over a period of time, he says, I guarantee you that you will be successful. I guarantee you that you will be fruitful. I guarantee you that you will be effective in the work of God and for the glory of God. And I think that ought to cause us to listen to what Peter has to say, because he's not really saying that these things will merely just improve your chances of having an abundant life. Really what he says is he guarantees it. He's guaranteeing here effectiveness and productivity in the kingdom of God. Really, he is saying you will accomplish something great for the glory of God. And he says this in verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what are these qualities? Well, there are seven things that Peter lists in this chapter. Seven things that I think Peter says, this is what you need to develop in your spiritual life. And I would encourage all of us today as we start this new year, that whatever our resolutions have been or whatever our priorities are at this very moment, maybe whatever it is that we're chasing in our life, whether that be in our personal life or in our work life, I want to challenge all of us to take these things to the top of the list. This list that we find in 2 Peter, that should be our priority in the new year. 2 Peter chapter 1, Actually, I just want to start reading to verse 1. Let's just go back to verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of His or of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And then he says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And with virtue, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, or if these things, I think it's the New King James Version that I love, for if these things be in you and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, he says in verse 11, be all the more diligent. Or your version may say once again, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall. So let's look at these seven qualities. And what I want to do tonight, just quickly, just go through these seven qualities. Let's try to define and understand what Peter is saying here. And then let's think about a practical way in which we can put these qualities into practice, into our life today, this week. But I want you to think about that verse in verse 8. Or that phrase in verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. Think about that word increasing. Or as I said, if these things be in you and abound. This is not an easy task that Peter has given us here. This list can be difficult. It can be something that takes us a long time to develop these qualities. This is something that we must work towards. This is something that we must make an effort, that we expend some energy, that we are diligent about. And so, in other words, when you think about the Christian life, and as we've done this year from Hebrews 12 at verse 2 and looking at verse 1, we often compare, as the New Testament writers do, with the Christian life as being a race that is a long race. This is something that we are in for the long haul. And this will take time for us to develop these qualities into our life. But over time, these qualities should be increasing. And we should continue to mature and ultimately become more and more like Christ. And so when you think about these qualities, there could be some of these that you feel pretty confident in, that you're doing pretty good. But then again, there might be something on the list where if you had to list them out in order, that you've got that one down there at the bottom of the list that you really need to implement and think about and put into practice in your day-to-day life. But I want you to think about that challenge as we begin, before we define these things, where Peter says, make every effort to add these qualities to your life. This is something that we must be diligent about. And there are other places in the New Testament where this phrase is used. I mean, we can look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the New International Version says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Or Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's 2 Peter 3 verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless. So because Jesus is returning, because he will come like a thief in the night in chapter 3, Peter says, you make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, holy. Make every effort to be found at peace with him. And so tonight, as we go through this list, look at your life. As I'll look at my life, think about what areas, which quality do I really need to try to develop and increase and measure this year? First of all, let's look in this list in verse 5. He says, supplement to your faith with virtue. I think it's the New International Version that uses the word goodness. New American Standard uses the phrase moral excellence, as I think the New King James Version does as well. Some versions talk about good character. And really what this word means in a very practical sense is that it's just excellence in behavior. Moral excellence in behavior. You know, sometimes we might talk about somebody being a good person. Or, you know, that person really has a good heart. And oftentimes, maybe that phrase is used when we try to excuse someone's actions. We try to excuse their faults. And we say, well, I know he lies, cheats, and steals, but, you know, he's really got a good heart. He's a good person. Listen, Peter is not talking about just being content with just having a good heart. Although you are involved in all sorts of sinful behavior, well, at least you try to be a good person and you can be kind to a few people around you. He's not talking about good intentions or just sincere motives. He's talking about excellence in behavior. Excellence in behavior. And we know from Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 10 that we have been created for good works. We have been created to do good works. We know from Titus chapter 2 at verse 14 that we are to be zealous for good works. And so I want you to think about that tonight as we think about this first characteristic. Is this moral excellence, this behavior for good works, having a zeal for good works to add to our faith. And I want to emphasize again that this is not just a feeling, but this moral excellence, this virtue is an action in our life. Well, how do you develop this? How do you develop this moral excellence in your life? Sometimes we might say, well, you know, I've done my good deed for the day. I can check that off the list. I was nice to my wife, or, you know, I was nice to my parents, or I did this good deed. And so I can just check it off the list for today. I'm finished. Now, we want to get to the point where we are looking for opportunities to do good throughout the day, that we move from one good behavior to the next. It's really kind of the opposite. Have you ever been around a baby? Maybe you've had a baby like this where, you know, they're just a little, just kind of getting into trouble, a little mischievous. And so you put them in front of something to try to occupy their time. And then what happens? Well, they might start tearing something up, or they start going over here and trying to get in trouble and stick their finger in a light socket or something like that. And so what do? Well, you grab them and then you try to put something else in front of them, and you try to divert their attention away from that, and that you hope that they start doing something where they'll be safe. But then what do they have? Well, they're mischievous. It's like a little boy. You know, they just get into all sorts of things and you're constantly just directing them. Well, I think about that in the opposite sense. We should be like that. We should be moving from one good deed to the next, where we are behaving in such a way that we are acting with goodness. We are acting with this virtue, with this moral excellence, where we are going and getting into the habit of looking around and saying, what good can I do? Remember the song, we still sing it, each day I'll do a golden deed. Maybe we should say, each day I'll do a golden deeds. What good can I do today? But second of all, he says, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence, and then virtue with knowledge. Virtue with knowledge. And you'll notice when you read chapter 1, just how many times before you even get to this, that Peter uses the word knowledge just in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And so here it is, Peter once again saying, add to your faith virtue, and virtue, knowledge. And I think the word that Peter is using here is, it's not just this philosophical type of knowledge. The knowledge that he is using here is a knowledge that you put into use. Barclay defines it as the knowledge which enables a man to decide rightly and to act honorably and efficiently in the day-to-day circumstances of life. So you think about that. Peter is saying, add this knowledge, but add this practical knowledge to your life every day. Add it to your faith. Learn how to use it. It's like if you've ever taken a state exam, maybe for, you're trying to get, maybe it's an insurance license or a real estate license or an appraiser's license or something like that. And you do that and you study for this exam and you learn how, you learn all this knowledge to pass the exam, or maybe it's some type of exam like that. You learn and you pass and now you're licensed to do some type of work. But then it's like, okay, well, what do I need to know now to actually do the job? Or how do I put all of this knowledge that I passed the test with, how do I use that knowledge practically to do the every day-to-day task related to this job? This is about practical knowledge. And here's where I think this is important. I hope for some who are listening tonight, maybe they're new in their faith. Because, you know, sometimes someone, a new Christian, is excited and they're learning and they're growing and they're reading scripture. And maybe at times they can get a little bit sidetracked about different things in the scripture. And I'm not saying there's not things that we shouldn't dig into, but oftentimes I've seen new Christians really want to dig into some of the things of scripture. You know, who were the Nephilim? And they start looking into all of these different things. And they start chasing these rabbits and going down these trails, when really what they need to be doing is read the Sermon on the Mount and then go do what Jesus says. That is practical knowledge. Peter says, add to your faith knowledge, a knowledge that you can use. And so how do you develop this quality? Well, it's very simple. Read Scripture. Read Scripture daily. Every day before we pick up our iPhones, our iPads, check our email, and turn on the news, we need to spend time in the Word of God. And that will help us grow in our practical knowledge. But then next, Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. King James Version uses the word temperance for that. Some define that as self-mastery. Self-mastery. One author said, it's the ability of the human being to act entirely of one's own free will without being subject to the whims and pressures of other people, competing philosophies, or one's own emotions. So think about self-control, self-mastery. And when you think about self-control, oftentimes we think about, this is the really difficult one. Self-control, how do I do that? Well, when you think about self-control, it's really just a matter of being able to say no. It's the ability to be able to say no to yourself. And you think about 2021, maybe there's some financial resolutions or there's some budgets that are being made the first of the year. And you start thinking about finances and you have this budget and you live by this budget. And if you're living by a budget, you have to learn to say no. But then the problem that comes along is Visa comes along and they say, well, listen, you can have whatever it is that you want to have and you can have it right now. And I will gladly lend you the money to be able to buy that. If the Amex comes along and says, take the trip to Europe, don't worry about how you're going to pay for it. Go and make memories that last a lifetime. You see, we have to learn to say no. But just think about that connection between financial stability and the ability to say no. There's a connection between holiness and the ability to be able to say no. The ability to be self-disciplined. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll try to move through this quickly. I'm going to scrap the whole thing and start a sermon on self-control. But just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me just show you what Paul says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was concerned about self-control. He was concerned about self-discipline in his own life. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 9, at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So then, he says, run that you may be able to obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But verse 27, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So here Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he uses this metaphor once again of a race, something that these Christians in Corinth would be very familiar with. They would know exactly what Paul was talking about that. They knew what great athletic events were all about. And Paul, of course, uses the Christian life as a race and training for a race. And these Christians in Corinth would know that if you're going to run for this or train for this race, that in the course of your training, you're going to have to be able to say no. You're going to have to be able to discipline yourself to make the decision every day to train for this race. That regardless of what happens, regardless if it's raining outside or it's cloudy, you're going to make the decision every day, I have to discipline my body. And that may mean that you say no to certain things and you say yes to other things like training. Paul sees our life that way. He says they're running, they're training, they're disciplining their bodies for a physical wreath. But he says, we are doing it. I am doing it for a wreath that is imperishable. And so that's why he says the Christian life is this way. And as we run our race, we are to discipline our bodies and keep our bodies under control so that we can be an instrument for God. So that we can be about the business of good works. And that may mean that at times I say no to certain things. And I say yes to others. And you think about throughout the day, we have countless opportunities to say yes and to say no. Situations that we find ourselves in where we have the ability to compromise our priorities. There's times every day where we have the choice or the opportunity to think something we shouldn't think or say something we shouldn't say or do something that we shouldn't do. But we have to develop the ability to say no. We have to practice saying no. That's how we develop self-control. We say no to the things, even though they may be things that aren't necessarily evil in and of themselves. We say no to the things that are sidetracking us from working in the kingdom. I love that song, 504, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'm going to control myself and control my body in such a way where I say no to certain things so that I can be a productive worker for the Lord. And that at times means saying no. The next word, characteristic quality that Peter uses is perseverance. Perseverance or steadfastness, the English Standard Version uses. Self-control with steadfastness. And that word literally means to just stand under or to remain under, to persevere. You stick with it. You tough it out. And in developing this quality, you do have to learn to endure the opposition. You have to learn to endure the persecution, as Doy talked with us this morning about the suffering that we have been called to as a Christian. There are times when we have to persevere. We have to stick with it. We have to tough it out, even in the midst of that outward opposition. But also, I think there are times where we have to stick with it and we have to persevere, even in the midst of our inward opposition. And what I mean by that is the times when we know that we fall, the times where we recognize that we fall short and we sin against God. Because when you think about those who give up on their faith, at times there have been some who've given up on their faith because of criticism or peer pressure or persecution. I think there would probably be many more who gave up or became discouraged because of their own inability to measure up, to persevere, You know, the reality is the road on the Christian race is full of hurdles. It's full of obstacles. And we'll fall many times on the way. I mean, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, anyone who thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. And you think about reaching the finish line. We have to develop the quality of perseverance. And you think about, well, how do I do that? How do I develop the quality of perseverance even when I'm so well aware of my own shortcomings and sin? I would say you get up and you try again. You get up and you do it again. I was thinking about this afternoon. Emmitt Smith played for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, he is the all-time rushing leader in the NFL. 18,355 yards, I think it is the number one on the list of all-time rushing leaders in the NFL. Amazing record. The interesting thing about that is his average yards per carry throughout his career is 4.2 yards. So that means every 4 yards that he ran, he was knocked down. On average. On average, every 4 yards he's knocked down. He just got up, kept running. And in the same way, I think about us as Christians. You get up and you persevere. Have you tried before to control your temper? Continue to try. Have you tried 1,000 times to be a better husband or a better wife? Continue to try and persevere. Have you tried a consistent daily devotional life? Keep trying. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, for though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. Persevere, remain under, stick with it. Despite the hurdles and the obstacles that we will face, no doubt that we'll face this year, persevere and stick with it. Then next he uses godliness. He says, after steadfastness, with godliness, with godliness. That word could be used with piety as well. And you might think about godliness in connection with piety, and you start using that word, but then someone might start thinking about, you know, just this sour look on a Christian's face, where they might just have this holier than thou type of attitude. But that, of course, is not what Peter is talking about when he talks about godliness. You know, I think what he's describing here is you add to your steadfastness, godliness. You add to your relationship with God. You are in a right relationship with God. And if you are in a right relationship with God, well, then you will seek to be in a right relationship with others. I think there's a connection there that we must see. Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. That we can't be right with God unless we're right with our brother. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is godliness. This is what we must develop. And let me just go on, because I think these tie on together. It's brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, or mutual affection, one version uses. It's a friendliness. It's about a relational connection that we have with others. And I think this is something that we really need to work on and make sure that we are working on in 2021 because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I mean, the oddities of our assembly, the inability at times because of this pandemic to really connect in the ways that we have in times past. I think this is something that really needs to be on our radar this year, to make sure that we have this mutual affection for one another, that we are remembering one another and understand that we can still be there for one another to offer encouragement, that we do not have to bear a burden alone. That there is this brotherly kindness that we have with one another. And so I would say, in order to grow this quality this year, let's make an effort to build relationships. Make an effort to build relationships with a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. Someone that you can be close to. Someone that you can connect with, and you can seek encouragement. You can seek at times truth from God's word, knowing that that brother or that sister is going to lead you in the word of God, and they're going to tell you the truth based upon the word of God. Because we're good about talking about football and sports and hunting and cooking or whatever it is that everybody is involved in and enjoys the hobbies that we have. We're good about that. But let's also have this brotherly kindness where we have relationships and a mutual affection to where we can share with one another our struggles and let others know that we need encouragement, that we need lifted up. And we can be that person there to do that good deed. But then finally, he uses the word love. Add your brotherly kindness, love. Peter ends it with love, because when you think about the concept of love, love is the ultimate priority as a Christian. This is what it all boils down to. Remember Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14? You know, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's love that keeps all of this in perfect unity. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the ultimate expression of our faith. How do we do that? How do we develop this quality? Well, I would just end with the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So think about that this week and in this year. Is the best way to express love, the best way to show love, to develop this quality of love, is to practice Matthew 7 or verse 12, or practice the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So Peter has given us this list of qualities to develop, this list of qualities that you could spend so much time on it, but you think about how they really all go together. And maybe you've seen charts of stair steps of how they all just kind of go together. And I think when you do that, you can see how they do go together and where we can give our attention to. Because we need to develop a good practical knowledge. We need to put into practice goodness and have the knowledge to do that. We can develop self-discipline. And we can keep trying, we can keep depending and trusting on the Lord as we persevere. And we can develop love and brotherly kindness and strengthen our relationships. And then you think about Peter's guarantee once again. For if, in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way we're going to develop these is if we make the decision today that we're going to make every effort. Make every effort. I read the story one time about a memorial that's set up in the Alps that's dedicated to a man that was rescuing a tourist off of a mountain. And as he was making his ascent, unfortunately, he fell and he died. And there's a stone there and remembrance of him, and it just says three words: he died climbing. He died climbing. When I think about our Christian life, making every effort, trying to become more and more like Jesus, I'd like that to be said of all of us. That he died climbing. We died reaching. We died striving to become more and more like Christ, so that we can make a difference in the kingdom of God. Let's make this our resolution this year. It could be that you need to begin your year by becoming a New Testament Christian, or it could be that you need to begin your year by getting your life right with the Lord, by making the decision that you're going to put Him first, that He is going to be the top priority in your life. And I hope you'll make that decision today. And of course, if we can help you in any way with your spiritual relationship with the Lord, if we can encourage you in any way, please let us